I got a few different scriptures that about one verse out of each chapter that I'm focused on today, but what is the church? I want you to keep that in mind as I speak this morning. What is the church? Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Ephesians 1, verse 22. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. The church. Acts 26, verse 23. Then the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. The church. Revelations 1:4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. The church. He is talking to the church of Ephesus in Revelations. The church. Revelations 1:5. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from his place. He told that to the churches in Revelations. The church. In verse 18, who is the head of the body of the church? Jesus is the head of the church and the head of the body of the church. And we're the body of the church. That's us. We are the church. Not the brick, not the mortar, not the lumber in the walls, not the electricity, not the carpet, not the pews, but us. We're the church. We're the church. The people are the church. God's people are the church. Are the church. When most people hear the word church, the first thing they think of is a certain type of building or But it's a lot more than that, isn't it? It's a lot more than that. We're the church. You're going to hear me say that probably 100 times this morning. Because we are the church. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, he had something much greater in mind than a mere architectural structure. He was referring to the whole body of Christ, us, the church, who is composed of all believers. The church began on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and anointed a group of Jesus' followers in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room of the 120. That's when the church started. It has continued ever since. Then as the Lord has been adding more believers. Living stones. We're the living stones as believers. We're the church. The church. The church is not merely a place for social action or fellowship. These are important aspects of its ministry. Rather, the church is the entire body of Christ, the church. Corporately and individually, filled and enabled by the Holy Spirit to carry out the task designated by Jesus himself. See, we're supposed to carry out, we are to carry out the same task that Jesus himself carried out when he walked upon this earth. We are to carry the same job that he did. In other words, the church purpose is to bring people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to make disciples, instructing them in growing them up in the things of God. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. If you remember when we spoke the last time, I believe the last time I spoke, was about when new believers come to know Christ. It is up to us as the believers to nurture these folks is to teach them how to live for Christ. See, they've got a new spirit in them. God has given them a new spirit by them asking for forgiveness. Jesus has given them a new spirit, but we have to teach them. We have to teach them. We have to teach them. I shared this with you when I was here before. That's why I said I wrote this sermon about 3 weeks ago. I was reminded, I shared this with you when I attended the revival services there a few weeks ago, and how all the churches came together, and there was 15 in total churches in this community that had revival for 1 week. They broke it up into three sectors, five churches per sector, and they traveled around, the ministers traveled around, and preached in that church. They never preached in their own church, but they held revival service in the other churches. There was Baptist, there was Methodist, there was Episcopalian, there was probably Presbyterian, there was any denomination you could think of. Other than church listed, there was a lot of folks that came for revival. The unfortunate part is, if you guys think about it, how many revivals do you hear of these days in churches? Not very many, do you? Back when we was growing up, my goodness, it seemed like somebody was having a revival every week. I can remember that. But they all gathered, and I was so honored when Dobby Thrash called me. I think it was on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and was the service on a Friday? It was pretty short Thursday. Anyway, it was pretty short notice, but I believe, yeah, I'll help you, Dobby. And it was such an honor, not only to be able to sing for the Lord, but the honor was when I got there and I was visiting people that I hadn't seen in a long time, and people just kept coming in. They kept coming in. Now I'm starting to get a little nervous. Kept coming in. Because I got to sing. Kept coming in. Before you know it, the church was full. I'd say it was probably 250, 300 people there. The church was full. And what a good time. The church. Are you hearing me? The church. Not the Methodist. Not the Baptist. But the church of God was together, worshiping. People cried together. People sang together. People worshiped together. They had healing service at the end of each service. You know, the healing hasn't stopped. When Christ was walking this earth and His disciples were healing people thousands of years, healing hasn't stopped, folks. I've seen it with my own eyes. I was praying with a man one day, and I got to share this with you. We was praying, and the whole church was praying. I'm telling you, it wasn't one or two people, but the whole church was praying in the name of Jesus Christ. And he could only lift his shoulder about this high. He was getting ready to go into surgery. Next day or the day, it wasn't soon after that. I was praying with him, and it wasn't me. I was praying, him and the church was praying, and I could feel something leave his shoulder. And the next thing I know, his arms were stretched higher than what I could stretch my arms of praising the Lord, and God healed him through the power of prayer, through the name of Jesus Christ, through the church. The church. The witness didn't heal him. The pretty stained glass didn't heal him, but the love and the power of Jesus Christ healed him. Because God's people, the church, prayed it in the name of Jesus. Prayed it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, guys. You got to give me something. Come on. Give me an amen. There you go. And I'm not going to stare at you. I'm not going to scare you, Shelly. I scare Shelly. But anyway, we worship together and we pray together. And where I'm getting to, guys, is we need a place to worship. We do. We do. We need a place to worship. But as I was studying, I was thinking that. But I was studying this. My mind took me back in the Bible when Jesus was teaching. When he'd get out on his boat and the people would be along the shore or up in the fields or wherever, and Jesus was teaching. He taught 4,000. He taught 5,000. And hard to tell how many more people that he taught. That's not even in the Bible. But what I'm getting to is, these people were setting out in a field or along a sea listening to Jesus' teachings. They wasn't in air conditioner or the heat, or they wasn't in the comforts of a pretty church building, which nothing wrong with pretty church buildings. But it was the church. You guys with me? We're the church. And we were worshiping. And those folks were worshiping. We can worship the same way. We can't get caught up in the concrete, in the mortar, in the lumber, in the pretty stuff of a church building. We've got to stay focused on the Lord. We've got to stay focused on the Lord. We're the church. We're the church. I think back, and I've shared this with you before. I'm almost done. Maybe. I think back, Sam, when we was building that chapel up at the prison. The Lord put it on my heart. You know, we met in classrooms. The inmates met in visitation. The inmates met on their own units. But the Lord put it on my heart to build a chapel. And it was at the end of budget year. If any of you know about budgets, the end of the year you have no money in the budget. It was June, I think, when the Lord put it on my heart. Of course, the budget ends in July, so you know what that is. We was able and managed to pull enough scrap together to get our chapel started and get it built. We got it built. Everybody was happy, excited. Well, my wife told me about a church that was getting brand new pews. And they was looking for somebody to take their old ones. Immediately, I called the pastor. I said, hey, I'll come look at them. He said, come on down. I asked for 20. He gave me 20 pews. I got back to the facility. My phone rang. And how Charleston found out about it, I'll never know. I looked, and it was my boss. I answered, and he goes, hey, I hear you're getting pews. Yeah? He goes, is there anything on the pews that signifies Christianity? I said, well, yeah, there's each pew had a little cross engraved on the end of the pew. I told him, I go, well, you can't take them. I said, well, why not? Of course, I could feel my head swelling up. I was getting mad. He goes, well, how would you feel if you was a non-believer and you walked into that chapel? Well, I gave him a sarcastic response, and I immediately forgave him. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I moved on, but I didn't take the pews. I stammered around for a few days mad, bawling. You can ask my wife, I'm hard-headed, I know that. The Lord finally put it on my heart. Sam, about 2 weeks before that, we was having water issues in the prison. So we had to go buy buckets at Lowe's. We had about 55-gallon buckets. And was basically having a fire brigade, per se, taking water to the units so the guys could flush commodes and things like that. The Lord put it on my heart, Aaron, you just bought 50 buckets. Why can't the guys settle on the buckets? The church. Long story short, our guys didn't have to settle on the buckets. But God put it on some of those men's heart, we're going to build pews. So, they went to work and started tearing pallets apart. And we built about 30 pews out of pallets. Most prettiest pews you'd ever want. You couldn't buy them to make them look like that, but God provided. God provided. We had a group of men that loved the Lord. They couldn't wait to come to work every day to work on that chapel. Those guys took so much pride in that chapel because they loved the Lord. The church. the church. Those men would have sat on buckets. They wouldn't have cared because they had a place to come together. They had a place with each other, the church. They had church in places where they had churches in places. But they had them a little place now, the church. But the church was each other. The church was each other. It wasn't the building. It wasn't the pews, but it was the church. For this Thanksgiving season, we always give thanks to the Lord for what we have and what He's given us and what He's going to give us and what He has given us. And we're always thankful for family. We're thankful for how God works in our lives and stuff. But I challenge you this year. My number one thing is thanks. I belong to a church. It's you folks and other believers. I belong to a church. That we love each other and that we live in a country that we can still worship without worry. The church. We have war in our country right now. There's wars in Russia and Ukraine and Middle East and stuff. The people are worshiping probably underground and wherever they can get together. The church. Getting together. The church. So let's keep those folks in our prayer this Thanksgiving season. Let's keep the folks that live in the South and out in the Midwest and stuff has lost everything due to storms and different things. But I can almost promise you, Brenda, this morning, there's people as a church worshiping together. They probably don't have a building to sit in. They might be sitting in a beer joint parking lot or something, or they may have even stripped out a beer joint and made a church out of it. You don't know. But I guarantee this morning they're worshiping together as a church. So let's stay focused, guys and gals, on the church and the church body. Amen? Let's pray. Kind Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus, for bringing us together this morning, Lord. I thank you for allowing us to worship as a church, as a body. I know you love us, and we love you. But help us stay focused on you. And I just ask these things in our holy, precious name. Amen.